You're good to go.
All right. Okay, we'll call to order the Wednesday, September 7, 2022, Town of Kiri Beach Planning and Zoning Commission meeting. First item is I believe that we need to excuse Kathleen from tonight's meeting and recognize that Joe will be on Zoom. So is there a motion to, I guess, excuse and recognize?
I move.
Second.
Okay. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Okay. Next item is adoption of the agenda. Are there any additions to the agenda?
Nothing that I saw.
Nope.
Nothing.
Okay. I'll move adoption of the agenda.
Second.
All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Okay. Next item is adoption of the minutes from our June 1st. That seems like a long time ago now. That was our last meeting. I think it was a relatively... That's the one where we discussed extensively the
non-conformance.
Any changes to the minutes at all?
No, sir. Hmm.
Yeah. All right. Is there a motion?
I make a motion.
Second.
Okay. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Next item is public comments. Anybody on the, other than Joe, on the Zoom or telephone?
It's only Joe.
Only Joe, okay. All right, we will close public comments. Old business, I think the only old business is just a update on the item that went to the council. If you remember last time, we were talking about the non-conformance thing, and we ended up with a 2-2 vote on that, so we really didn't have a recommendation. Went to the council, and I presented kind of both sides and said that we really didn't have a recommendation on that. They talked about it, and it was 5-0 against that to disapprove it. So that's how that ended up. And I think the petitioner didn't even show up to the council meeting, which is kind of interesting. John, do you have any updates on that since... Now that would come to the P&Z, wouldn't it, if it's an application?
Board of Adjustment,
okay.
But I haven't received it yet, so I'm not sure if he decided to do that or not yet.
Okay. All righty. New business. Again, we kind of decided that we needed to have a meeting, so the good thing is we could chat about a couple things. And so I thought of about four items to talk about, and it was suggested that we not talk about one of them, which would be I forget what it was. Yeah, okay. All right. Anyway, but we have three in front of us. So discussion of multi-use zoning on K Avenue. Just a little bit of history on this one. This one goes back a long way to a prior mayor, I think it was, who... strongly felt that we should have a mixed-use zoning up K Avenue, and that actually it was in the general plan at that particular time that actually was up there. So we ended up putting an overlay district onto K Avenue for a mixed use. And the idea of mixed use is that you could have a commercial activity on the bottom floor and a residential activity on the second and third floor up K Avenue. So we did that, and we have had, from what I understand, zero applications for that. And so I just thought it'd be a good thing is, do we want to think about maybe changing that, leaving it the way it is? Is there any interest to John, do you have any comments about that? This is just a discussion point now.
I mean, no, not really.
I mean, there hasn't... Just out of curiosity, how many people know that they could actually buy something on K Avenue and open a business? The sense is that you have to buy something in the business district. which is kind of locked up in terms of property, but it's not quite as locked up in terms of up and down K Avenue. I just wonder if part of the issue is that people don't know that if they buy a property on K Avenue, they could actually put a business there.
I don't think that's necessarily it. I don't think there's a whole lot of business owners trying to open businesses in Cary Beach. I think that's the ultimate issue.
Okay.
Don't get a whole lot of questions about that, but I mean, our other zoning districts are wide ranging in the permitted uses. So.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, okay. I mean, we spent a lot of time, and we actually have in that district not architectural requirements, but we have landscaping requirements and signage requirements and a whole bunch of stuff like that, too. So, my own personal opinion is that, you know, we could probably leave it the way it is, because if somebody did want to do that and come in with something, there's a lot of requirements that they would have to satisfy to be able to do that. I know parking is kind of one of the big issues on that, but anyway, I just think it was a good time to kind of think about this, because it's been about 10 years, I think, since we implemented that overlay district. Does anybody have a comment on that or nothing? Okay. I know that Kathleen was very interested in this, and she emailed me and wanted me to raise one issue, which I said I would, and that is that it kind of related to 6.1, and that's the idea that she favors raising the height limit to 40 or 42 feet to encourage... Right, but I told her I would raise the issue, and I'm not in favor of that. It's not something we can really recommend. I guess we could always recommend something, but my general feeling is I'm pretty happy with the way things are.
And that was just in the business district, though, right?
Yeah, she was talking about the business district, not the overlay district. But she asked me to bring it up, and I said I would because she's not here as part of 6.1 discussion. So I've done that. Any comments about that?
Is that just in K Avenue?
It would just be on the business district in K Avenue going down there, which is really not the overlay. Our overlay district stops at Fort Fisher, and the business district starts at Fort Fisher and goes on to the pier. But I don't think our overlays on top of the business district.
I would ask our attorney if anything is done for any portion of town, we have to go back to Raleigh?
I would make a couple of comments. The current limitation is by legislative action. So yes, I think they would have to repeal it, rescind it, revise it. I'd also note that every single appointment I've ever sat in regarding an interview for planning and zoning and council, the one question I always heard was, what's your feeling about the 35-foot height limit?
Right.
So I would tread carefully on that. The third thing is business district. Is that B1? The overlay is strictly on top of B1, so you'd have that problem as well.
Right. Yeah, we have the historic district go over. The historic district overlays onto the B1 district. This multi-use zoning on K Avenue does not go all the way down to the B1.
Somebody mentioned the height limitation. The height revision would be for the business.
Yes, that's what Kathleen wanted me to raise the issue.
So that's the fact that it's the preservation overlay district is one more reason why you may not want to go very far down that road.
Well, I'm certainly not in favor of it, but I told Kathleen I would raise the issue for tonight since she's not here. So, any other quick comments on that? Okay, all right. Number two, 6.2. This is one that has always, I do think we could do something because, again, we don't have a lot of things coming to planning and zoning right now. So this is, I think, a good time where we can be a little more proactive and think about things that we may want to consider developing. That's kind of what we did with the lighting ordinance and the graffiti ordinance and some other ones, I think, which are very proactive in thinking. And that's a discussion of green sustainability type of issues. Obviously, that's a hot issue these days. The first thing I suggested, if you remember several years ago when I started toying around with the idea of Teslas, is maybe having electric charging here in the area. But we passed that on to, I believe, the parking committee. I don't know if they've done anything. And at that time, I think there were like two Teslas on the island. There's probably 50 on the island right now. So there's a lot of electric cars, and every single automobile manufacturer is coming out with electric cars and so forth. And I was just thinking that, is there anything that we may want to consider? And I don't have any specific ideas, but certainly a lot of cities now are developing what could be called kind of green or sustainability type of things in terms of zoning elements or planning elements or parking elements and charging, electric charging and green type of things and so forth. Is there anything that kind of strikes anybody that we might want to consider in the future? And, you know, I'll open that up to, you know, you folks too. Is there anything that has struck you in your daily type of activities that might could be considered green that we might want to look at? John, anybody?
Watering your grass with rain barrels and things like that.
Well, you know, that raises an interesting issue. Is there something that we could do? I mean, we have a solar panel. You think about solar panels. So we've already addressed the solar panel issue in our design elements.
What about more bunkers under the dunes for rainwater?
Oh, that's a constant discussion, but the problem there lies that we don't have a lot of access to much of our ocean front without getting on the beach trend itself and working our way west.
Yeah, are there any incentives for... I remember several years ago that it was Duke Power, I think, had, or not Duke Power, but somebody had a thing where we could buy $50 water containers or something like that, and that disappeared. Is there anything that you know that would encourage people to...
I don't. I mean, I'm just, you know, there's a lot of questions revolving our aquifer and overbuilding, not necessarily for Curie Beach, but in Carolina Beach. And of course, deepening the river channel, they're worried about an aquifer issue there.
Yeah.
Town council already discourages the use of, you know, irrigation meters by putting an exorbitant price on you know, getting one installed. I'm just throwing it out there. You asked for something.
No, I agree.
I don't think the majority of people would like it if we require people to use rain barrels. But I mean, that's a green initiative.
We tried to sell them one time, but
then didn't
go well.
Yeah.
We had them here.
Yeah, I should have bought one because I always wanted one. I never bought one. So. Any other green ideas? I mean, we certainly have the potential for being a green community. And by the way, there is some certifications. I think I mentioned that a couple years ago that there's a couple groups out there that will certify communities as being green, and that's a good promotional type of thing if you do certain things. And you know, some of it's pretty simple, for example, putting low flow toilets into your town hall and stuff like that too. So
wasn't that looked at for the new town buildings? And I seem to remember a meeting that I was at representing the fire department where it was thought that to get that rating would have cost a significant amount of money.
You're talking about LEED design.
Yeah, that's a LEED certification.
Yeah.
All right, well, you know what I might do for next time, just so we have something to talk about, is maybe Google and see what other small towns are doing in the green area and see if there's anything that kind of pops up that might be a planning and zoning issue that, you know, we may want to consider here. Yet again, I'm just trying to think. I mean, to some extent, we've already dealt with it because we, you know, we have a lighting ordinance now, which is kind of a green issue when you think about it. So we've done a number of things already that kind of move us in that direction.
The sign ordinance.
Yeah, the sign ordinance is definitely a green type of thing. We have ordinances. Don't we have something, too, about landscaping? And there's some sort of now financial incentive, I think, to plant native shrubs, isn't there? I mean, I remember about a year ago there was a presentation by somebody, a group that had money that they could give if people planted native foliage versus non-native foliage.
I don't remember that.
Do you remember that? Anybody remember that?
I remember reading something local or recently in the paper about communities that were...
No, a group came here and said that...
Yeah, it was an organization that came here. I cannot remember the name of it, though, but they came back in, like, I think March. Right?
Yeah, they came here. They had a lot of money.
Yeah, they had money.
And they did a presentation.
Yeah, planting a tree.
They would pay, actually, I believe, for a homeowner to plant native...
I can look it up and bring it next.
Yeah, because it's a real... Okay.
Well, as a homeowner who cuts grass, I'm all for it.
Yeah, because they were willing to pay for using native foliage versus, you know, palm trees and stuff like that. So, all right, anything further on 6.2?
A couple of comments.
Oh, yes, I'm sorry. Yes.
I understand generally green, but I have no idea what type of planning and zoning elements could be green, more greener than what we've got. Second point is, my voice doesn't matter much about these policy things, but I'd be curious to see a presentation on what green elements for planning and zoning consist of. And then once you have that understanding, you just comb the chapter 15 and see where you can target green initiatives versus not. But right now, it's just a general discussion that I can't hang my hat on anything.
Right. I'll be glad to kind of do a Google search and see if I can find anything for our next meeting, just to, you know, continue the discussion.
Some of the items that I've worked with small municipalities in my career was, of course, you know, where wind could be used. We don't have that opportunity. Solar is always something, but there's a lot of there's a lot of logistics around that. LED lighting, stoplights, we don't have that many. So,
how many years ago was it we did oceanfront LED?
Yeah, there's always changes and advancements with LED over, every couple of years you get more efficient. The other areas, you know, where conservation is around water, especially in a water plant, doing electronic meters, and also we found municipalities that were having leaks, so there's a leak detection process you can do in the piping, the infrastructure piping, meaning we had a municipality, they were filtering and purifying water, and they were losing 80% before it ever got to the meter. So part of that process of identifying the leaks and in making those repairs, there's companies and things that will help that. And, you know, there's things around water and lighting that are huge paybacks. Wind and solar, it's a different conversation, and it's very complicated. On the power grid, some municipalities are getting hit with peak load type of situation. So off-peak generation, you know, that's something that we haven't seen here, but other areas of the country do. We just don't have enough of the challenges that, like, some communities where you use ice storage, and you make ice at night from chill water, and then you would store it, and you just run the pumps during the day. So those types of things that I've worked with. Other things are building envelope, you know, roofing, things like that, window shading are very popular. And all these go into lead designs that get very complicated, very expensive. And, for what we're looking at, town buildings, not a lot of opportunity there. It's hard to push to the homeowners.
Well, that plus the fact got practically half the town that's HOAs.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So it just doesn't look like there's a lot, unless there's something in the water infrastructure that it could possibly be looked at.
Yeah, one of the things I would suggest is when you think about LED lights, you know, LED lights can be generated at different spectrums, you know, from the blue spectrum to a non-blue, lower on a kind of the red spectrum. There are a lot of people, including myself, have very high blue spectrum sensitivity. And actually, when I see like a digital sign that's blue or has a high blue spectrum, it's blinding. It's like somebody's shining a flashlight. So I would recommend that if we think about LED lights, and I know we have a lot here, that whoever buys LED lights, try to get them lower in the blue spectrum than perhaps some of them are right now. You know, so, I mean, just little things like that. But, yeah, I'll be glad to kind of do a look. And if anybody else wants to kind of do a Google search and think about kind of green type of things, because that's clearly what we're kind of moving to is more sustainability. And I'm kind of curious as to why, given that we have kind of a surplus that's being generated out of the parking fund right now, why the town hasn't considered putting solar panels on the town hall or something like that, just kind of to raise the issue. Anyway, any further discussions on that? Nope. Okay. Second one, I guess I've already mentioned this discussion of non-conforming ordinance right here. The only thing I wanted to mention on this is kind of interesting because during the presentation to the council, you know, this is a text amendment, and when I kind of presented the planning and zoning's lack of recommendation, I tried very much to point out that they should concentrate and understand that when you have a text amendment, it affects the whole town wide, not just that one particular thing. But a text amendment is for the whole, you know, the whole town. And it's really interesting because, you know, I kind of thought about that when we talked about it. And I saw the same thing happen with the town council, is immediately they ended up talking specifically about that particular situation. And, you know, John made a good point that, you know, this is something that affects the whole town, that if you approve something like that, it's not just that particular situation, but anybody in the town could be able to do that. So I think that just kind of a little comment that when talking about text amendments, we really need to raise the red flag that this is something that affects the whole town in general, not just a specific situation with whoever is bringing that before the board. So, but they did talk about it and they did turn it down. So, okay. I was trying to make us go for half an hour, but I don't think I'm going to be successful. anything else? Do we have anything coming up on the future agenda? You know, we may have something, again, we talked about that the mayor may pass on to us, which, again, I'm not quite sure what that is.
Yeah, you'll get more information.
More information. But other than that, and, you know, maybe we can put the green sustainability back on. I don't think the other two we need to really talk too much more about. But yeah, just so I, you know, I'll bring something in. If anybody else wants to bring in some ideas to that, that'd be great. Is there anything else that anybody thinks that we can be proactive about that you want to talk about either tonight or put it on the agenda for next?
I've got a whole list of things I'm going to send you guys for next month.
Okay. Also, if, you know, talking to our attorney, is that I remember that there's some things that we were going to start revising in our ordinance that we've kind of put off because of the land use plan and all that sort of stuff. Is this a time we start thinking about that? You know, having to do with those changes that are mandated by the state?
Well, there's three things that need to be done with the code. One of them is to add the 160D statutory references. That doesn't involve any other body governing or advisory. That's just me and Beth and Mandy working on that. The second thing is and it's a priority, but I don't think we've ever done anything along these lines since I've been in the town in 2014, but the big thing is there's been a decriminalization of local ordinances. You pick up an ordinance and you look at a provision, and the chances are pretty good that, generally speaking, that you'll see a provision like violation of this article can subject the offender to either a civil penalty or a misdemeanor charge, yada, yada, yada. Well, a year or two ago, the General Assembly gutted a lot of criminal enforcement under local ordinances and actually produced a checklist of what you cannot enforce criminally. For example, planning and zoning development regs, you can't enforce those criminally. But I think if you went back into the code today, you would see a provision that suggests that that enforcement angle exists. So I've got to go into the code and clean all that up. It's a rather comprehensive project, which is why I haven't gotten to it yet. But that won't come to you all because it's not your bailiwick. The third thing is stormwater. Got some minor things to do on stormwater. As I understand it, we operate under a universal ordinance approach. And there's actually one of the things that slowed us down is we're waiting on feedback from the state on the revised stormwater management plan. They're very slow at getting back to us, but that's going to result in two or three text amendments as well, but I'm not sure that they go through you all as well. I think that's pretty much a governing board item. But other than those things, updating statutory references, decriminalizing our code, stormwater, there may be one of the things I can't think of, but that's what's on my agenda for the code. Okay.
What's the status of the land use plan? I mean,
waiting to hear back from Raleigh.
Okay.
And
now we gave our recommendation on that, didn't we?
We sent our proposed plan to Raleigh.
And then windows of planning and zoning. I thought we looked at that and there's a sequence, and planning and zoning is in that sequence.
Yeah, I can't remember the sequence that well. Wes's kind of coordinating all that.
Okay.
I think it went through planning.
I think
yeah,
it did.
Planning,
yeah. So we're out of that now.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
Okay.
You're out.
Yeah.
Council, I think.
It's almost done. Wes said probably another week.
Yeah, and Wes will take care of the logistics, but I think it'll end up being something along the lines of a public hearing and council action.
Okay. All right. Well, I think, you know, as a final comment, I guess, you know, the reason why we haven't had a lot of activity is I think, you know, the town of Cary Beach is doing great. You know, I think we've got good planning here and, you know, good people and everything. So, I mean, you know, we don't have a lot to do, which I think is a really positive sign. So, you know, I think it's great. So I don't have anything more for tonight. Does anybody else? So it sounds like we will have things on the agenda for next month. John, right? You'll have some stuff for us.
I emailed it to you.
Have you done it already?
You already emailed it.
Okay. All right. So, are we all good for our next meeting, which is the what date in October?
October the 5th.
Is that okay with everybody?
Always best to leave it as it is, unless there's a serious conflict.
Right. Okay. All right. All right, is there a motion to adjourn?
I make a motion to adjourn.
Second.
Okay, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Okay, pretty good. Ooh, I need to pound it.